Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from our rather cooler animal compound in Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, the animal guy, and this is Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Hello to our listeners from around the world, across North America. A special hello to a regular listener we've become aware of, Zane. So, Zane, thanks for listening. Behind the controls of this radio missile, and I do mean radio missile, Billy Willard, and from the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, crossroads of America, and home of the rather eccentric, always prompt, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. Yes, the weather's cooled off here in Indiana.
It most certainly has, and the weather has, the leaves have changed, now they're blowing off the trees. And yes, I was up on the latter half of the day cleaning out gutters. Then I got a chance to do one of the most wonderful jobs in the world is hang drywall. It was just too much fun beyond comprehension, I should say.
Yes, how are your fingers?
They're fine.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's good that you're, you know, you're expanding the wildlife educational services. And
We are. Our home, which is half animals and half us, is now superbly insulated against the brutal elements that Mother Nature is going to toss at us this winter. So we feel like we're prepared. The alligators are moved in. They're nice and warm. All the reptiles, the tortoises, and, of course, Elizabeth, our olive baboon, who is anticipating a great day tomorrow because we travel off to northern Indiana to visit a school with our wildlife program, so we're excited about that.
Now, Elizabeth still sleeps in your room, doesn't she?
She does, yes, so she can bother me in the middle of the night and have a bottle of milk. That's her goal in her life. And for those who may not know, Elizabeth is a almost five-year-old olive baboon from the brushlands of Africa.
I can't believe she's almost five years old.
You know, I can't either. We adopted her when she was about 2 months old, just a little thing with big ears. Now she's a big thing with big ears. Literally likes to beat the tar out of myself and my wife Cheryl during our programs. But you know what? The entertainment value is unbelievable.
Yes, with the strength of five grown men.
Yeah, pretty much. This half of Wild World is brought to you by ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. Peter Weimer has put together this wonderful video of the recent conference we had in April featuring the infamous Bob Gimlin, Billy Willard, Melissa Hovey, Steve Calls, and myself. It's now available on video, on demand for just $4.99. Go to his website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. And I've had so many people come up to me and they say, how do you spell Chautauqua? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. It is Chautauqua. I'll repeat that once again for those who forgot their pencils. Chautauqua, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. Video on demand, it's only $4.99 for over 6 hours of video. So we encourage all of our listeners that are interested in the Sasquatch Bigfoot legend to go to that website because they are some of the folks that make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for November 7th. This is our first show in November.
Oh, my.
Yep, and you know what? I'm going to tell you about November. November comes from the Latin word novum, which means nine, because it was originally the ninth month of the year in the Roman calendar. But since we went to the Gregorian calendar, it's now the 11th month.
Well, I wondered what the heck was going on.
Yeah, it's confusing. All right, let's get on with the news.
Okay.
We're going to start the news tonight with a murder in Watertown, New York.
Oh.
Yes, a murder of crows.
Oh, a flock.
Yes, as many as 30,000 crows are returning to the city for the winter. Yeah, we know what that's like. We have the problem here with these starlings.
Hmm.
Well, last season, the crows were chased away with remote control aircraft, distress calls, pyrotechnics, fireworks, and handheld blazers. And it works for a day or so, and then they're all back. And so if you live in Watertown, New York, do not leave the house unless you have an umbrella.
I know how to get rid of them.
Tell us.
You know, crows are opportunists, taking birds out of nests and scavenging animals off the roadways.
Right.
And they're kind of a lazy bird, so I'd put up a big sign offering them all a job.
Oh.
And then they'd be out of there in moments.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Or I'd call Watertown, New York, and let them know.
Yeah, well, that was just a joke, everybody, but just...
Oh. All right, well, they really must be bored in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Officials at the Cape Cod National Seashore are threatening to close a parking lot because people, listen, have been feeding coyotes.
That's dumb.
Prompting the animals to start begging at cars.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Seashore Chief Ranger Leslie Reynolds said that nine coyotes were spotted there one night at the Herring Cove Beach. Now, I don't quite understand.
Well, coyotes, too, are opportunists. And any way to get food that's an easy way, they'll take advantage of it because they're that smart.
Now, you've used coyotes in your educational programs before, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. They're very shy animals. In fact, there was a report of some coyote attacks, which I find almost impossible to believe, because even ones we'd had in captivity, for many years, if you walked into, and they knew me, you know, very well, and if I walked in their enclosures carrying anything they were not familiar with, they wouldn't come within 20 feet of me, whether it be a radio, maybe a small shovel or spade I had in my back pocket, or a tool. So they're like wolves. They're just miniature wolves. And as our good friend from, Padre Island, Billy Sandifer, he calls them God's dogs. And the only reason they've expanded across the country is because we've created all these plains, which are farmers' fields, and the farmers' crops attract mice, and coyotes love mice. They're tremendous predators. And little do the farmers know that to kill them, that they're really killing an asset to their livelihood.
Well, that's right.
They found two coyotes had been hit up on Highway 65 just north of Lafayette, Indiana. And when they did the autopsies on them, they found their stomachs were expanded to the size of soccer balls, and they were packed with field mice. So it gives you a pretty good idea of what they eat and how helpful they really are.
Yes, they
are. But don't feed them.
Please don't feed them, because they'll get used to humans. Somebody will end up getting bit. There'll be rabies. Don't feed the coyotes.
No, or wild animals in general.
All right, we've got a rare find in Florida, an albino blue crab found in the Gulf of Mexico last week by crabbers, is currently on display at the Gulf Specimen Marine Lab. Now, Jack Ludlow has only seen one before, and it was back in 1966, so this is the rare albino blue crab.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
It's not essentially a blue crab, then.
Well, it's blue because they took it out of the ocean. It's sad now because it's in an aquarium.
Well, there you go. My fault.
All right. Maybe she shouldn't be driving. Panguitch, Utah. Authorities said They were stunned after a three-point buck crashed through the front of a woman's travel trailer.
Oh, God.
Garfield County deputies say they got a call from a woman who said she'd hit something on the U.S. Route 89.
Yeah.
Now, conservation officer Micah Evans found a hole the size of a 50-gallon drum in the side of this travel trailer. When he opened the door, he found the deer was inside, appeared to be fine, and later exited the trailer with a bologna sandwich.
You're just making up the bologna.
I made up the bologna sandwich part,
okay.
Yeah.
You can't get them all by me. I wasn't born yesterday. Maybe the day before, but not yesterday.
Yeah, well, I think this lady should maybe stop driving if, you know, she's not aware that a deer is inside of her travel trailer.
Yeah, she should. It would be rather noisy, I would think.
Yes, I would think so, too.
Yeah.
All right, Mount Vernon, Washington. While playing in leaves, 4-year-old Tommy Lindsley found a maple leaf almost as big as he was. The leaf measured more than 2 feet from stem to tip and was more than 21 inches wide.
Where did this happen?
Mount Vermont, Washington.
Mm.
Giant maple leaf. Now, it's a little bit wider but shorter than the record maple leaf listed in Guinness World Records.
Well, the trees are awfully big out there, so that's...
Can you imagine a leaf that big?
Oh,
almost 2 feet from tip to tip.
That could decapitate somebody
they
falling.
They could knock you down when it fell out of the tree. Yeah.
My God.
All right, we're doing the Wild World maternity news now. New York, New York. The Central Park Zoo is showing off 2 baby snow leopard cubs that were born this summer.
Oh.
The male and female cubs weigh about 30 pounds. The cubs, which will eventually weigh 65 to 120 pounds, have not yet been named.
Well, they should both be named mine. I need them in my school lectures.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, my Lord, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, too bad they're on the endangered species list and very rare.
Oh, they are very rare. That's why that would be so special.
That's right. All right, 6 foot tall at birth, Fresno, California. A male reticulated giraffe was born last week at the Fresno Chaffee Zoo. The yet-to-be-named giraffe is the 6th calf born to 19-year-old mother Baba. And it'll be a few weeks before the calf will be out in the main yard with the rest of the herd.
Hmm. What sex is it, did they say?
It's a male.
Oh, it's a male.
Now, didn't you have a giraffe at one time?
No. No. Camels, yes.
A
giraffe,
camel.
No.
You had a camel and a donkey that were in love with each other.
That's right.
Is
yeah.
that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah, they had a thing going on.
That was a strange.
They never took it to the second step like you and Lord Cheadle, but...
Oh, right.
But
Laura will be surprised to hear that, too.
Yes, she will. But, yeah. You know, do you remember what the camel's name was?
Oh, boy. Boy, that's been many, many years ago. Wow.
Well, we picked it up at the Columbus Zoo when it was just a few weeks old. And we're driving 70 west back home, and we're trying to decide what we're going to name this baby camel. And just about then, I saw this highway sign on I-70 that said Bump. So I said, that's what we're going to name it, Bump.
Yep, I remember now.
Yeah.
Was that a Sicilian donkey?
Yes, it was.
And
the other one has a cross on its back. Did you know that?
Yeah. But do you remember its name?
Oh, I don't have a clue. I don't remember.
We'll say Henry.
Now, there we go, Henry.
Henry.
He was a real jackass, too.
Whoa, okay. All right. I just walked into that one, didn't I?
Yeah, you walked into it.
All right. Lynchfield, Arizona. Officials at the Wildlife World Zoo and Aquarium said a baby jaguar and a newborn South American tapir now can be seen inside its animal nursery.
Cool.
But not together, because that would just really be stupid.
They're natural enemies in the wild.
That's correct. Jaguars are the largest feline in the Western Hemisphere, while the tapir is the distant relative to the horse and the rhinoceros.
Yeah, and I can still remember the carnival exhibit that said, "See it, the wonder of the world, half anteater, half pig." And you'd walk in there, and there would be a tapir. And you just realize you wasted $1.50.
Yeah, but, you know, that's
kind of cool, though.
When I lived in Panama, I would see tapirs and the capybaras quite often. And the strange thing was, I'd see an odd tapir here and there, but I never saw the capybaras. It was always an entire family, usually a mother and father, the adults, and then maybe two or three little babies. They were always together. I never seen them by themselves.
And that is the largest rodent in the world, growing to a weight of about 125 pounds.
Yes, that is a rather big rodent.
That's a big rodent, yeah.
All right. Well, when we have life, we also have death. Madeira Beach, Florida. Wildlife officials are planning today to euthanize a beached sperm whale found off of Madeira Beach there.
Gosh, that's too bad.
They tried to save it, but it looks like they're going to have to euthanize it.
Too bad. Boy,
yeah, it is too bad. And I spent a lot of time there at Madeira Beach. That's just a beautiful area, and to see something like that, it's just that's too bad.
Yes.
All right, Grants Pass, Oregon. This kind of ties into this last story. George Thornton, the highway engineer, whose 1970 decision to use 1,000 pounds of dynamite to blast away a beached whale has died.
The whale or George?
George has died, yeah.
Oh.
Now, have you ever seen that video?
No.
Well, when you use 1,000 pounds of dynamite to blast away a beached whale, a dead whale.
Yeah.
He was expecting it to be blown into little pieces. Well, the pieces weren't so small. Some crashed cars. People were injured. Yes, we're talking 100-pound chunks of whale blubber.
You talk about a dumb hill, Jack.
Yes. Well, the family has decided that that's what they're going to do with George, is use dynamite and...
blow him up.
And blow him up, too.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. All right, Concord, New Hampshire. Scientists are worried that a fungus targeting white pine forest has mutated and could return more than a century after it first hit the country.
Hmm.
Yes.
Well.
Pine forest mutants.
I don't know where to go from there, Dr. Day.
It's just one of those things that, you know, for some reason this fungus has reappeared 100 years later and it is starting to devastate our white pine forest.
Well,
that's how nature is. You knock it down, it'll get right back up.
That must be, I'd forgotten that was what was going on in the forest out in Rocky Mountain National Park. And they get big patches of dead pine trees. I believe that might be the same fungus. I'm not for certain on that. Of course, we have, what was the deal we had here? We had pine beetles, I think.
Yes, the pine borers.
Yeah, there we go. And they've killed a lot of trees on our acreage, I know.
Yes, and they're still doing damage.
Yeah.
It's hard to stop them.
No, it's Mother Nature's way of clearing out land so young growth can appear once again.
Well, we're heading off to Melbourne, Florida again. Another tragic story.
Oh, God.
Oxygen-depleting algae blooms are killing manatees at a breaking pace. As of Tuesday this week, 769 endangered sea cows have died this year.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes. Now, the previous record was 766 documented dead manatees set in 2010, just a few years ago. And if you remember, that's when the hundreds of the manatees succumbed to the cold stress during an unusually chilly winter and spring.
Yeah. They've got a tough go of it because, you know, between the boats hitting them and... My goodness. There's nothing more gentle than a manatee.
I agree. Big, beautiful creatures.
That's just too bad.
All right. Well, the good news is the Old Farmer's Almanac says the next 2 weeks are the best for fishing.
Let's go.
Also,
got the worms.
This weekend,
I'm going to go fishing anyway.
Saturday night this weekend, we are into the Turrid meteor showers. Now, it's not a big meteor shower like a lot of the other ones.
The what meteor showers?
The Turrid.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something else. Sorry, I was confused.
Still, if you're up Saturday night, look to the south and watch for the shooting stars.
And those are, what kind of meteor shower is that again?
It's the Turrid meteor shower.
Okay. I'm writing that down as talk.
So Saturday night, yeah, it's going to be dark out there. Now, did you hear this weekend what our good friend Rupert was doing?
I have not a clue.
Well, for those who don't know Rupert, the Survivor celebrity.
Yes.
It's a good
friend
of
the show.
Has been on the show, yes.
Yeah.
Well, he had a pumpkin chucking contest this weekend.
Oh.
For people to come out and bring their post-Halloween decaying pumpkins and shoot them out into a farm field with a giant slingshot.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Now, guests were invited to smash their pumpkins and compete against Rupert in a Survivor-style contest and donate to Rupert's kids.
There you go.
Which helps at-risk older kids develop job skills.
Yes.
And Rupert's been doing a great job. Quite a character, and we love him.
Oh, we do.
And hopefully we'll get him back on the show here, and he can tell us how things have been going on.
We will. I'll work on that.
All right, it's time for the Wide World Facts of the Day. We're doing wolves tonight.
Oh, good.
So are your wolves in the house?
Yes, they are.
Good. We'll get them close so they can listen to what's going on here. They already know this, as you do, but we're going to share this with our listeners.
Okay.
Wolf pups are born deaf and blind while weighing about 1 pound, and it takes about 8 months before they are old enough to join the activities in the wolf pack hunt.
We rescued wolves once.
They sure are cute when they're young.
Yeah, we rescued six wolf cubs from a small zoo up in Wisconsin. We had to climb in this cement culvert, which they had made into a den, and we didn't know how old the wolf pups were. We didn't know where mom was at. We assumed she was in there with them. You talk about that was a rather interesting expedition. I ended up holding mom up against the concrete wall of the circular, it was a piece of tunneling. And then with the other hand grabbed the wolf cubs and not tossed them, but handed them out. That was exciting.
Yeah, you were pretty brave in those days.
Well, I still got it in me.
Just maybe not that smart.
I still have it to
take six cubs away from their mother.
Well, they were going to euthanize them because they'd had an accident. One of the male wolves had bitten off a child's finger because the wolves had figured out when the kids teased them on their way home from school, if they stick their finger through that spot right there, the electric wiring won't shock me. They figured that out. They just waited for the opportunity, and they got it one day. So the city council of, gosh, I can't even remember the town, I'm thinking Stevens Point, they decided that the rest of the wolves had to go because of this one young man's indiscretions. So they were going to euthanize the cubs, not unless we took them. So we took them.
Well, thank you for rescuing them.
And we took them on the Johnny Carson show.
Oh, that's right. I remember. Those are the cubs?
Yep.
Huh.
So.
All right. Well, let's get on.
I'm sorry.
With the rest of our wolf facts. Wolf facts.
Okay.
All right. Wolves have two layers of fur, an undercoat and a top coat, which allows them to survive in temperatures as low as 40 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And in warmer weather, they can flatten their fur to keep cool.
And you know, they'll curl up in a ball when it's snowing and just sit real still and let the snow cover them. And as it gets deeper and deeper, they get warmer and warmer, plus they're completely hidden. They're smart.
Yep. We know that for a fact.
Yeah, I can tell you that for sure.
And your wolves are the biggest, beautiful wolves I've ever seen.
Well, thank you. And they're
enormous,
smart.
And they're quite kind and friendly.
No, usually.
Yeah, and
they'll have their moments.
One of them gets caught in the gate and your wife goes to help.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. Don't do that, folks.
All right, now when the pack kills an animal, the alpha pair always eat first. As food supply is often irregular for wolves, they'll eat up to one-fifth of their own body weight at a time to make up for days of missed food.
They're survivors.
That's right. Well, I think that's enough for tonight. That's the Wild World News for November 7th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters, now in HD in Indianapolis, Indiana. We want to remind everyone, tonight we do have a after-the-hour program, and from Beverly Hills, California, vocal stylings and friend of the show, and also a friend of wildlife from Beverly Hills, Izzy Chait will be joining us, and we're looking forward to hearing a few tunes and having the opportunity to talk to Izzy. We also want to remind everyone, go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, our wildlife education programs. We have our brand-new book for sale, Alphabet Swamp, which is available now, so that's a great stocking stuffer for only $10, and that includes postage. We'll sign a copy of Alphabet Swamp and fire through the mail to whomever you would like. And all the information on contacting and ordering these books is available at www.LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Also, our Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. And also, we do have a Facebook page for our blog talk show, Wild World, so please hit the like button, be a part of that. They all make it possible for us to hang around here every Thursday night on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Oh, it's that time, everybody. Sit down, everyone. You have something to say, right? Indiana, our favorite teacher. Teacher of the year on our show, as far as we're concerned. Always working, still at school, I assume.
Well, you know, I did leave after school for a while today and went to lunch with a friend, or dinner, actually, with a friend that I haven't seen in a long time, and it was tons of fun, and we talked for like 4 hours. So I don't think I have anything to say now. I've used all my words for the day.
Oh, Miss Amy Swihart joined us.
Naturally.
I doubt that.
Well, you see, I never run out of things to say.
We've discovered
never.
That.
Yes, we have.
And that's
I
a good
know,
thing.
You have.
Sometimes,
yes, well, you know, that's what happens when you get blessed with my friendship. There's always things to talk about. Hey, I forgot all about Rupert, and you were talking about him. He was a pretty cool survivor guy.
Yes, he is.
A little hairy, though.
He is a little hairy.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yes, he
I
is.
I want him back on the show because I didn't get to meet with him, and I want to talk to him.
Oh, well, we'll do that. We had our good friend Jeannie Harold with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who may be Rupert's number one fan in North America, and she was kind of like a guest host that night because I never watched the show.
Oh, it was great. I watched Rupert. So Rupert was awesome, even though he was extra hairy, and I'm not really, I don't know. I mean, that was just really hairy, and probably because they just didn't shave much. It just got worse and worse. I wonder if he's participating in No Shave November. But anyway, I liked him. I really, really liked him. So I want to talk to him.
Oh, we'll see about putting it. Of course, he ran for the governor's state of Indiana. And it's really too bad he got beat because it would have made things a lot more interesting.
I agree.
That's right.
With all
that's right.
Thing.
So anyway, I want to talk to him. He needs to be my friend.
Oh, there you go.
Then I will I will feel more complete than I already do.
We'll see about that. What's happening?
What?
Go ahead.
Hey, wait. It's my turn, remember.
Yes.
You played my song. Now it's my turn. Hey, I have to say hi to somebody that I know that's listening. Steve is listening, and it's really cool that he's become one of our listeners.
Oh.
And so I want to thank him for listening. It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We
say hi to him.
We love listeners. He needs to go to our Wild World Facebook page and like it.
That's right. He should.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, I had a funny thing happen at school today, and I decided I was going to share it. I told you a little bit before the show, and you can't stop me. I know it's gross, but people like gross stories. I know that. And
yeah.
And I don't mind telling them, but I really didn't like to witness it. But you know, after the fact, this kind of stuff is funny. But, you know, with first graders, the stories of boogers are aplenty. And I'm telling it.
That's
too bad.
True of Virginians, too.
You know what? I have this girl in my class. She's the sweetest thing. I love her, and I'm not going to say her name, of course. But she talks with a little bit of a lisp, and it even makes her even cuter, I think. She's just so, so adorable, and I can sort of imitate her just a little bit, and I'm doing it with love, believe me.
Yes.
I am not making fun of her at all. But she comes up to me today, and she says, Mrs. Swihart, this somebody's been flicking boogers on my desk. So, okay. You know, you think you've heard it all, and I know there's boogers, but seriously, who the heck is flicking boogers? I want to know. I don't know if they're even out there, but I want a DNA test kit because I'll be able to figure out who it is. But anyway, I looked at her. You know, when I try to be all serious and inside I'm kind of late, I have my filter up because part of me wants to say, what the you know what? But then I didn't. I said, oh, my goodness. Seriously? And she says, yes. And I said, okay, what are we going to do about this? And she goes,
yes, you are.
She goes, it's okay. I'm going to go get it wiped, and I'll clean it up. And she went and got the Clorox wipes, and she cleaned it up, which – God bless her, because
yes.
I did not clean it up. I did not. I don't like boogers.
Yes, but you're the teacher, their guardian.
I don't care.
Their leader.
When I signed up for this gig, I didn't know there were going to be boogers involved. Really. I wasn't a mom yet. I had no idea. I mean, I now know. I now know because I am a mother of boys, mind you, which you boys are gross. And I've been a teacher for a while, so I know that anything can happen. I know it. I've experienced it. It's not the first time there's been booger issues. But, yes, that was a lovely way to start the day. And you know what? I couldn't blame it on rubber cement because we don't use rubber cement anymore.
Oh, I bet not.
Remember how rubber cement used to be?
Yes.
Yeah. So, what a lovely start to my Thursday.
Oh, it is.
And ours.
And ours, too.
And I feel so good now because I haven't even been home since like 8:15 this morning. And so I just have, you know, I'm sitting here at my desk, and I have thrown my black boots on the floor behind me, and I've even thrown my belt off. And I'm actually right now swinging a fly swatter because I'm pretty sure the last known living fly in Warsaw, Indiana, is here in this classroom. And I am going to kill it. So
well,
you
know, everybody needs a mission. I mean, they need a goal.
You're right.
So.
You know what flies do, though? You know what they do when they land on your potato salad, Dr. Day?
Yes.
I know. I know you know. And you know what? That is just plain old gross.
Well, the fly, as I mentioned earlier, carries over 50 communicable diseases.
Sick.
A house fly.
Sick.
So that's potentially one of the most dangerous.
It's kind of like a miniature buzzard.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a fan of flies, and they should not even be around right now. That's one thing I really like about winter is no more flies.
Well, I have to say the last few flies in our various animal buildings are disappearing quite quickly. And we are delighted because it's a constant battle in the summertime, as you said.
Yeah.
And we don't like to use a lot of different pesticides because I just don't, you know. I believe these government studies that say, you know, we're intoxicating ourselves. That's a word.
Yeah.
And it's,
I know.
It's just like we had somebody on, they don't take beef into Mexico. Mexico doesn't allow it because our beef is so contaminated with steroids and various chemicals and the cancer
yeah.
rate in Mexico. We talked about that. The cancer rate in Mexico is far below ours.
Yeah. I'm still not going to Mexico to live.
No.
And you know what? I'm a little scared, personally, to go over there and eat their meat. Because they have a lot of flies.
Well, you just don't want to drink the
water. So maybe their meat is okay, except they've got a lot of flies.
Yeah.
So that combination is not pretty. Look, and you know what? We experience flies at home because we have chickens. Speaking of chickens, Dixie, for some reason, has absolutely no feathers today, our chicken named Dixie.
Yeah.
What in the world? Hello, Dixie, you do not molt this time of year.
Not all
right?
The feathers. No.
Well, I think she maybe has two left.
That looks like that one's ready for the cooker.
I'm thinking that she may be the target of some bully in the hen house, and I'm thinking it wouldn't surprise me if she did not meet her death in the next, you know, day or two, which means that there's going to be a little bit of upset at my house, but that is life, and I'm just going to, you know, we've had it before, so I think we've all gotten a little used to it, but Dixie's been around for a while. She's been in the classroom. She's very tame. And so, you know, what was sad, but we no longer buy special stones for our chickens when they pass because we have too many. My youngest son said once he saw somebody's tattoo on their arm, and it was a person's name, and he said, why did they put that on there? I said, well, actually, I know why. It was because that person had passed away, and they put it there to remember them. And so he suggested, and he was just a little guy, he said, maybe we should get a tattoo of our chickens when they die. The whole body would be covered. They would say things like Hazel and Mabel and Harold and Ruby and, I mean, no, we're not doing that.
Well, I've decided that tens of thousands of years from now, if archaeologists ever come to our property and start excavating, they'll be saying things like, I never realized the tiger was indigenous to this part of the world. Or some of the things we've had to bury over the years.
Oh,
it'll be a mystery of science. We have to take a break. I hate to do
that
because it's so exciting with our Teacher of the Year, Amy Swihart, of course, Dr. Henry Day. We'll be
Billy,
right back.
You're just a ball of fire.
Yeah, he is. And,
wake up, Billy.
I've been awake.
Yeah, I can hear him chuckle every once in a while. This is Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
It's bobcat, heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a
bear sighting?
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
We'll be back in just moments with our Teacher of the Year, Amy Swihart, and, of course, the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day. I want to tell everyone, making it possible for us to be on the air at McGregor Mountain Lodge, they've had a tough go of it. 20 inches of rain in the Estes Park, Colorado area. It's been devastating. In a magnificent lodge with cabins right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. If you've never been to that part of the world, folks, you owe it to yourself to visit the Rockies. It's absolutely spectacular, and there's no better place to stay while you're in Estes Park than McGregorMountainLodge.com. You have wildlife in your backyard, bighorn sheep, elk, unbelievable, and the scenery is fantastic. Go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. Their proprietor, Michael Hodges, God love his soul, makes it possible for Blog Talk Radio to be on. And a big hello out there to Igloo Ed, who's in Lyons, Colorado. And I guess he's made great progress with his home, which was heavily flooded. And he's had lots of help, and I've been keeping up to date with Igloo Ed. And hopefully we'll have him back on the show shortly. We can hear about the progress in Colorado and the repair of all the roads and all the damage to the homes and so forth. It was pretty devastating. And tonight, after the hour, from Beverly Hills, California, the vocal stylings of friend of the show and friend of wildlife, Izzy Chait, will be joining us, who I know for sure has one brand new big fan, Amy Swihart.
Woohoo! That's
Izzy.
Me!
Izzy.
Yeah.
You were playing his CD for the first graders today.
I did, because I was listening to it today while they were at lunch, and when they came back into the classroom, I didn't have it turned off, and it was rather loud. But they know their teacher loves music, and quite honest, yeah, I won't say what I was going to say, but yeah, I love music, and we listen to it a lot in here. I put a lot of instrumental music on when they're doing their writing, just because they're really quiet, and it just makes for a better writing atmosphere. But yeah, so I had Izzy Chait's CD on, his CD that I happen to have a copy of, Everything is Different Now.
Uh-huh.
And the kids really seem to like it. When they come in the room, they're all wired from lunch, they sit down, they're really quiet, and they listen.
Well, that's cool. We'll have to tell Izzy later.
I know. So that was, yeah. So not only did I become a fan, but I exposed 19 first graders today to Izzy Chait and a little bit of jazz. So,
cool.
Hey.
His fan base grew.
I just teach all sorts of things.
Well, you know, his band is made up a lot of the old Ray Charles Orchestra, and we all know Ray Charles.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, funny you brought that up, because I mean, Veterans Day is coming up. That's huge to me. I am somebody that feels as though our veterans don't get the recognition that they deserve, or the benefits that they deserve. So that is something that I'm really passionate about here at school, is teaching my first graders how, you know, when we say the pledge, I mean, there's a right way to do it, and really working on showing the respect for our country and those that serve. And actually, we're getting ready to, we make the decorations for the VFW and the American Legion here in town because they have dinners on those on Veterans Day, and we have a program here at school. And then I have a couple of friends who are veterans, and I do things for them. My class does things for them because I try and teach them, you know, to enrich the lives of others. But I teach my kids in my class, America the Beautiful, you know, all those songs that every kid should know.
Yes.
And I pulled up Ray Charles singing, and so, of course, the kids didn't know who he was, and so I had to have a, you know, talk to them about him a little bit. So I noticed then, too, when I was listening to Izzy, I was on his website today, and he also sings that song, and he does a really good job. So,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I'm very impressed. I mean, you know what? My dream was always to be a teacher, but my dream was also to be a rock and roll singer. So
yeah,
So, I mean, I love music. I don't know.
We'll talk to
anyway,
Izzy
we
about
don't
that
need to
later.
Go.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to talk to him. But, hey, you know what? I need to share some facts with you, don't I?
Yes, you do. We're ready.
Okay, well.
We haven't done well in the past.
We're going to do really good tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you are. Let's see if you can recall, because, you know, teachers wonder if their students can recall information that they have taught in the past. And I did talk to you before about what a group of rhinos is called. Do you remember what that was?
You did?
I did.
I must have been sick that night.
It was just a quick little thing.
Yeah.
But I just wondered if you happened to be listening to every single word I say, since everything I say is of value to you.
That's right.
Right?
Do you remember Dr. Day?
A herd of rhinos. I've heard of rhinos before, but I don't remember what a group is called.
All right. Well, you know what? We're on a time limit, so I'm just going to tell you.
Okay.
The herd of rhinos happened to be called a crash. Do you remember now? Does that come back to you?
No.
Okay.
A crash or clash?
A crash. Yeah.
Crash.
Yes, it's a crash, like, you know, a car crash.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, I might ask you about that in a couple of weeks, so you might want to stick that in your memory there.
I will forget.
Yeah, because you know what? As a teacher, we are constantly assessing our children.
Oh.
Not because we necessarily want the government has us assessing and reassessing. I might just assess you in a couple of weeks on this information. But now, what is a group of hippos called? You know, rhinos are a crash. What's a group of hippos called?
Splash.
Splash, yeah. I'm going with splash, too.
Yeah, whatever. This one is kind of odd. Maybe. I don't know. A group of hippos is called a bloat.
Oh,
ew.
A bloat.
A bloat.
Yeah.
We called my uncle that.
A bloat of hippos.
Oh, wow.
A bloat.
So what you really meant is he was a hippo.
Well, yeah, size
you didn't know that, but now you do. Yes.
Yeah.
So, hey, I thought this fact, I'm moving on because you know what? I got a lot to say in a short amount of time. I thought this fact was completely crazy and maybe a little bit, I thought about it maybe in a way I shouldn't have, PG. But anyway, did you know that if your tongue was as long as a frog's,
yeah,
it would reach to your belly button. Now think of the things that you could do.
You'd be
with
popular.
Your tongue. What?
You would be very popular.
Yeah.
And you would be having problems with that fly now in your room.
That's right.
No, but I wasn't even thinking of that, but thank you, Dr. Day.
Yeah, there would be
because
no problems.
Yeah. If my tongue was as down to my belly button,
yeah,
that would be pretty cool sometimes.
It'd probably be hard to eat, too.
But, yeah, I think it would be. You know, I don't even hear Billy Willard chuckling after that.
Because Billy is imagining all of the things he can do with that tongue.
That's incredible.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
You can finish off an ice cream cone pretty quick.
I even wonder if our guest Izzy Chape. Repeat that fact once again for Izzy Chape.
Okay.
Okay.
I heard that fact very closely.
And the first thing that I thought of is, can we see some pictures?
Of a frog's tongue? My tongue? Whose tongue?
Anyone's who can reach down to their belly button.
My God, Gene Simmons.
And
you know the tongue,
tongue
is the strongest muscle in the entire body.
Yes, you're exactly right. Well, I just thought it was really interesting. I just can't imagine that, I don't know. I'll look at a frog a little differently now when I look at one.
Oh.
I knew they were long because I knew they got flies, but I just didn't know they were that long.
Well, that guy on X-Men has one really long.
On who?
X-Men, you know, that movie about the people with the powers.
Yeah.
That could be a good way to clean the lint out of your navel.
Yeah.
Or to wash your windshield or to clean your computer screen.
That's what I needed for cleaning gutters today.
Well, you know, Gene Simmons, somebody brought up Gene Simmons. Yes, he has a long tongue, but I am not into Gene Simmons' tongue.
Yeah.
It's always gross looking.
No, it's sure.
Okay, I'm going to tell you another one. Here's another one, because I am totally enriching your life, I'm sure. There is a bug. It's called the assassin bug. Maybe you've heard of it. Sounds like a friendly bug, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Assassin bug?
Yeah.
Well, this assassin bug, of course, kills other insects. But one thing that it does, and I don't know what scientists discover this and how you even study this, but it carries dead ants on its back just so it looks bigger. Now, I know that people and insects and things go to some extremes to look bigger. But how does someone... Stop it. How does someone look at an assassin bug and think, I bet it's carrying those ants on its back so that it looks bigger?
Oh, really?
How do they know that?
Well, it's an intimidation thing. It's a subliminal fact.
I would think maybe it would be more like a camouflage thing, whereas here's a bunch of ants coming my way, and then the assassin bug attacks. Now, I've seen assassin bugs. They have a really long proboscis, and they stick. Have you seen the wheel bug?
Yeah.
Which is also the assassin family. It has a serrated wheel on its back.
Nice. Huh.
I'll be darned.
Well, anyway, I just thought, you know, I'm just figuring, I'm guessing assassin bugs are all male. Just saying. Because that sounds like something that would be in a man's head. Thinking to itself, how can I make myself look bigger?
Yes, but the zoology tells us they're not all male.
I know. Okay, here's another one. This is a real simple fact. Simple, very first grade simple.
Okay.
Fish cough. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Wow. I know they cry a lot.
Fish cough.
Huh.
Yeah, I know.
I'm still not over last week when you asked us what a pregnant goldfish is called.
Do
you know that, Mr. Chait?
A pregnant goldfish? No, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a term. There's what they are called. Would you tell Mr. Chait, enlighten our worldwide audience, Ms. Wyhart?
Absolutely, but you know what? Mr. Chait, are you telling me you didn't listen to last week's show?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I just dialed in about 10 minutes ago.
Mr. Chait, just so you know, that our show is still available. It is all archived. So you can listen whenever you want to all those other shows.
No, I know that's very true, but I don't want to take responsibility for that pregnant goldfish. It's not my fault.
Okay, well, here's what it's called. It's called a twit. So the next time you call someone a twit, just know that it actually means a pregnant goldfish.
You know, and I have a feeling in the auction business, he uses that term quite often.
I try not to, but every once in a while I have to.
Well, I bet that those people in the audience are all thinking, why is he saying pregnant goldfish? You think?
I'll never forget that. What else do you have for us?
Let's see. Hey, do you know what the flap underneath them, you know how a moose, I've never really met a moose, but I've seen pictures. You know how a moose has this flap under its throat?
Yes.
You know what it's called?
Well, is it a dewlap?
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, waddle like a chicken.
No. And that would be maybe a turkey, more like a turkey. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, no, it is called a bell.
A belt?
A bell, B-E-L-L.
Oh, bell. Ah.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
So when you see a moose crossing the road, you can just look and you can go, oh, my goodness, look at that bell on that thing. You know, some are bigger than others, I'm sure. Yeah. And
probably.
People will be like, what in the world is he talking about? Yeah. Say, man, I wonder if that bell has gotten in the way before it's so big. I mean, you can tell all sorts of things.
Does that have anything to do with ringing one's bell?
Ooh.
Well, that's pretty deep.
Yeah, well, ring a bell of a moose to be ready to run.
I know.
They are.
You could
they
say,
are. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you could say, wow, that's one hell of a bell.
Well, I guess you could.
Because that's a rhyme.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? In first grade, we talk a lot about rhymes.
Well, yeah, of course, Dr. Seuss
and
so forth. And now that Mr. Chait is on with us, you should tell him how much your first grade class enjoyed his latest CD.
Yes. You know what, Mr. Chait, I was listening to today at lunch, and it was blaring because I'm a big fan of loud music, and we have this fancy, fancy sound system here, so of course it's coming out of my ceiling everywhere. And it was your CD, Everything is Different Now. And my first graders came back from lunch and they come in and they sit down and they're all quiet and they're listening. So I exposed 19 first graders to your music today and they liked it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. But you know, you're going to have to start calling me Izzy.
Okay, I will. Perfect.
Mr. Chait stuff doesn't ring my bell.
As long as you call me Amy.
I will, absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
Awesome. Yay. Amy and Izzy. How cool is that?
And we could go on the road.
Why don't we do that?
Oh, my God.
Not
Izzy,
a problem.
You have not a clue what you...
With 19 first graders.
Oh, no, I'll leave them. For you, Izzy, I would leave them.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's very good to hear. But you know, we could take them along. You know, road trips are good with children.
But
oh,
did
yeah.
you hear the first part of the show?
Yeah. You better
did
tell
you hear
the
first part of the show?
No, I'm sorry.
You might not want. No, that I had a kid today that flicked boogers on a kid's desk. Are you sure you want to take them on the road?
I might. You know, when I was in school, I used to organize book drops. But that wasn't until junior high school or high school.
Oh, those are wonderful. We had a science teacher that would doze off, and then we'd have a book drop. Boy, it was absolutely spectacular to watch him fly out of that chair. It was meaningful entertainment. Well, Dr. Day, once again, a great show tonight with our friend, Teacher of the Year for Wild World, Amy Swihart, and your Wild World News, absolutely great.
It just went by really quick, didn't it?
It did. And can we extend this show? I mean, seriously?
Well, we are, because we have After the Hour, all the way from Beverly Hills, California. Izzy Chait, we're going to be listening to his tunes and talking to Izzy about some stuff he's got coming up and also his work with various wildlife organizations. And it'll be on right after our show. Folks, you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time, everybody, after the hour.
Oh, yeah.
Children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Who's that young girl dressed in a red?
Wade in the water.
Must be the children that Moses led.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Wade in the water,
wade in the water, children, wade in the water.
You know that God's gonna trouble the water. Who's that young girl dressed in a white?
Wade in the water.
Must be the children of the Israelites.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Wade in the water.
Wade in the water, children.
Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. That young girl dressed in blue,
come and wade in the water.
It must be the children that's coming through.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Wade in the water. Come and wade in the water. Water. Well, if you don't believe that I've been redeemed,
come and wade in the water.
There must be a Holy Ghost coming after me.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Come and wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. You know that God's gonna trouble the water.
Oh, wow. The sounds of Izzy Chade, that is like honey. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I like it. So,
thank
so
you.
Izzy, will you sing to me?
I will.
Yeah?
Anytime.
I want you to sing to me now. I'm
okay.
Not very good with patience. And pick a song just for me and make me think that you're only singing it for me and you've only ever sung it for me.
Okay. Here's something that Gene Kelly sang in one of everyone's favorite movies. Life is a song. You came along. I stayed awake the whole night through. If I should dare to think you care, this is what I'd say to you. You were meant for me, and I was meant for you. Heaven fashioned you, and when they were done, you were all the good things rolled up in one. You're like a fragrant melody that never sets me free. But I'm content. The angels must have sent you, and they meant you just for me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. That did not just happen to me.
That was Gene Kelly saying that in Singing in the Rain. It's not, of course, there are a lot more famous songs from that movie, but that's my favorite song from that movie.
And you sang it
next,
to me.
Next to Moses Supposes His Toes Are Roses.
And that's a tongue twister.
Yes, it
but
is.
You sang it to me, and I'm sure you've never sang it to any other girl.
I would never tell if I have.
I'm just gonna believe that I am the only one. Are you on Facebook, by the way, Izzy?
I am, yes.
You wanna be friends?
Yeah, lots and lots.
Yeah, but do you wanna be my friend?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do I have to do to find you on Facebook?
I think it's just Izzy Chait, but it could be Izzy Chait Music. We're on Facebook and Twitter and several other of those things. I'm not real good at that stuff, but I get to it every now and then. But I love to have more friends, absolutely.
Well, go to my page. Yeah. I'm a friend of Izzy's.
Yeah.
I keep up to track with his latest.
But he's going to be – but I am the friend that he's saying to. So.
That's right. That's right.
That makes
you must be – I have to say it. You must be as pretty as your voice.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh.
She's not going
to
be
that's
worth
so
it.
That's
so
nice
darn
to say. What?
I said, you're not going to be worth it darn for
Hey, you know what? Okay, I know something else, Izzy, that I read about you. And and I just have to say that, well, first of all, I read that you were a Marine. Am I right?
That's right.
That is so hot. I love a soldier. And there's a special day coming up, of course, in which, people like you should be honored, and that is Veterans Day. And I also love, I have to say I love, when I was looking you up and snooping around about you and listening to music, I happened to listen to something that I thought was really, really cool, and that was your America the Beautiful.
Oh,
and
great.
We actually do a Veterans Day program here at our school, and that is teaching my first graders about that and the importance of recognizing our veterans is huge to me. And my brother actually is a Marine and served in Iraq. But that is something that is not in the books. It's not part of the curriculum, but it's something that every single kid in my class will spend the day on Monday learning about Veterans Day. But anyway, I think that when we think about playing our music at the program, I thought yours would be perfect. I thought that was
I'm very proud of that song and how it came out and how it evolved and. I'm going to be doing it on December 1st at the Hollywood Christmas Parade on Hollywood Boulevard. That's Sunday, December 1st.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great. And I know you're a musician, and I know that you're really good at that. But just the fact that you were a Marine and served, what an awesome thing. And that was huge, I think. And thank you. And I'll certainly be thinking about you on Monday when we go to our program. So I would love for you to come and sit with me at our program, but I know you can't do that. So
Maybe sometime. Just don't feel free to invite me anytime. And if I'm anywhere near there, because we do a lot of traveling, I'd be happy to stop by.
Yes. I mean, I think, I don't know. That was very, very touching. I get very teary-eyed when I listen to songs like that, especially because we live in a great place. And
we do. It's the greatest country on the planet.
Right. And I think that our young people don't really truly recognize that. And one of the things that young people, I think, are lacking today is that understanding of the flag and Veterans Day and Patriots Day, you know, all and Independence Day, those things. So I know it's not part of the curriculum, but it's something that my first graders will be taught about. So if I lose my job over it, I lose my job over it. But
I don't think you lose your job over it, and I think the kids, as they grow older, will always remember what they were taught. That's a very important part of life. I remember it
right.
when I was a kid. You know, I
right.
remember standing up and doing the Pledge of Allegiance and singing America the Beautiful and all the patriotic
yep.
songs.
Right. And I teach my kids the words to those songs. They should know those songs.
Exactly.
And in my mind, it should be part of the music curriculum at every single school in the United States of America. So, but anyway, I do what I can in this small little room here. I was very touched by your singing and then also very proud of you when I read that you were a Marine. So thank you.
You're very welcome. And thank you for being there for all these kids. Believe me, they really need it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I mean, the quality.
Yep,
go ahead.
I'm not here for the money, believe me.
I did not raise my hand. I'm so sorry.
You're right. You know, I'm not here for the money. I'm here for the love, and that's why I do. And I also love radio, so that's so cool that I get a little bit of this. But anyway, I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about your music. I want to know more.
Okay.
Well, that new album's hot, Izzy. I'm going to tell you right now.
Thank you.
It's once again, you put together a catalog of songs that gosh, it's just so easy to listen to. I mean, that's thriving music.
It's a group of songs that have been meaningful to me throughout my life, and songs I never recorded before but always wanted to, you know, sort of sing along. There's some spirituals there. I've always listened to spirituals since I was a little kid, and you know, and songs are intended to, you know, to communicate to audiences, and I believe these songs really communicate spirit of hope and love and goodwill toward all mankind, and that there is a future for all of us.
Well, after listening to this album, I keep thinking in the back of my head, I would love to see Izzy Chait live, because I know the shows just have to be extraordinary. Especially
well, I just did a show Tuesday night, and I tell you, it was really fun, and the audience really dug it.
And you have such a great cavalcade of musicians that you record with and play with.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of them, if my memory is correct, from the Ray Charles Orchestra?
Yeah, Don Peake played with Ray Charles. He was Ray Charles' first and one of only a handful of white guitar players who played with him for a decade. But he also was part of the Wrecking Crew and played with the Everly Brothers, with Sonny and Cher, with everybody who was anybody at that time in the 50s and 60s. And he actually, on America the Beautiful, he did the production of it, because what we were trying to do was to emulate exactly, if we could, what Ray Charles did in his version of America. And, you know, with my own little spin on it, but the arrangement was based on Ray's version.
Wow. Well, it's amazing. We're talking to Izzy Chait all the way from Hollywood, Beverly Hills, California, and a fantastic new CD. We want to listen to a little more of that, if we can, right here on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
wanted a downpour of a rain of stones. I felt like an exile from the world I know. So I sought the shelter of my own soul and stayed inside. I found no comfort in placing blame. I saw the truth that lay just beyond the pain. The past is a prison and I won't wear those chains and I won't hide. Oh no.
I will be here. I will be strong. I'll face my fears when the night is long.
And still go on.
I will be brave. I will be bold. Follow my faith to a higher road.
And I'm not there yet. But I will be. I could choose to keep my feet upon the beaten path. Never cross the open field for that one snake in the grass. But I'd rather risk my heart than never take the chance to find my way.
A tune, I guess, written and originally recorded by Wynonna Judd. and I hardly ever do country songs, but that was so beautiful and so tasteful and so expressive in the purpose of, you know, furthering one's faith, that I had to do that song.
Well, just with the choir. Go ahead.
When I was a teenager, it's funny you say Wynonna, because I, you know, she's not a, not the, we don't hear the name as often as we used to, but when I was a teenager, I used to sing all of her songs, and you just brought back that memory. Good grief. I mean, here you go singing to me. You let me call you Izzy. That's so amazing. And now you bring up Wynonna, which makes me think about being a teenager again. It makes me think of Mama, I found someone. Oh!
Yeah. Well, sounds like we may have a duet lined up for Izzy Jade.
Yeah, and you know what? I have your CD, Izzy, but I want an autographed one.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Okay.
For Christmas, okay?
Send me an email or to write me on Facebook, whatever that's called. Face me. Face me on Facebook
give me the
snail mail address, and I'll send you a signed one.
I just liked you on Facebook, and I left you a comment, so you'll have to check it out.
Great.
And then you'll be able to see what I look like.
Oh,
and
good.
Then you'll be like, oh, my gosh. Yikes.
I'll be heading toward LAX.
Tonight?
Oh, yeah, you fly on into the Warsaw Municipal Airport, okay? I'll pick you up. And you don't have to be in your private jet, because we don't do anything jumbo around here.
Yeah, well, I need to sell a lot more records in order for that to happen.
No, I want you to come to Indiana.
Okay.
I want you to come to Indiana, and I want you to – I don't have many demands, do I? No.
God.
I want – a girl wants what a girl wants. I want you to sing to me. I will sit in the front row, okay?
Okay. I've never been to Indiana, actually. I'd like an excuse to go.
Yeah, well, I am your excuse.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
This is the Amy Swihart show, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I will stop right now.
No, that's fine. It was when I realized how much love she felt for Izzy Jade after listening to not only the latest CD, but a couple of the others we forwarded on to her. I knew what would happen tonight. I already had a premonition that.
Oh, I know. I know what's going to happen. You're going to call me tomorrow morning, and you're going to say, okay, you know what? We've changed our mind. Get off of our radio show.
No, I don't think that will happen at all.
No, I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid.
Oh, my. Okay, well, back to Izzy. So where are you going next?
We were just in Washington, D.C., where I did an auction fundraiser for the Explorers Club, and it had an interesting sort of association with animals, because one of the things that was being done and offered, there was a three-year-old cheetah there being brought by the Cheetah Conservatory in Namibia. And then we were auctioning off a trip to Namibia and to the to stay in the lodge there with the cheetahs and beautiful animals. And then another gentleman who has a wildlife preserve brought a albino python, Burmese python. So it was an animal-rich adventure, and we did well at the auction, had a good time in D.C. And the next trip, we're going to Ohio. To Columbus, Ohio. My wife and I are going to compete in a ballroom dance competition there.
Oh, my.
Oh, cool. Wow.
We're going to be doing cha-cha and rumba and swing and waltz and foxtrot. And we just did one actually a week ago in Hollywood. Hollywood Dance Stars, or I think it was called, or something.
Wow.
Well, if you were there for the Explorers Club, then you met our good friend Jim Fowler. from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? Was he in for that event in Washington?
No, he wasn't there at that one, but I have met him in New York, I think, at one of the events.
Oh, okay. That surprises me, because usually anything to do with Explorers Club, he's a part of it. When you said cheetahs, I thought, my gosh, I'm sure Jim had some something as far as lining that up, so, wow. I can tell you, my one instant. Go ahead.
Wow. No, I'm just like, and now he's telling us that he dances too. Wow.
Yes,
well,
he does.
I only started dancing a few months ago, actually, because my wife's been dancing for a couple of years, and she kept egging me on to dance
right.
and stuff. But my whole life I've been sort of painfully shy about dancing because I thought it was not coordinated or I didn't know what to do exactly. And when I was a kid, I would never have the nerve to ask a girl to dance. So, I just didn't know what to do. So finally she got me to start taking some lessons, and now I'm doing competitions.
Wow.
Right, and what a great thing to do together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and it's also very good exercise, and the group of people that you meet, the pros that are dancing, the teachers and the professionals, they're just incredibly sweet people, and it goes sort of hand in hand with the music, because I like to move when I'm on stage, and I want to make sure that I'm moving sort of correctly. I'm also rearranging things in my performances. So, for example, last Tuesday night, I did a show at a club here in L.A. called Vibrato. Herb Alpert owns the club, and it's a very nice little club. But I wanted to do some special things. So I've never done Misty as a, performed it. I've sung it sort of, in the shower or something. But I said, I want to do it with a Latin flair. So I got my piano player and musical director to take a look at it, and he made it a mambo. So we did Misty as a mambo. And then we did Smile, Smile Though Your Heart Is Aching. We did that as a rumba, and throwing different kinds of beats and dance-associated kinds of things into the mix. It makes the music a lot more interesting, I think.
Interesting. Is he who wrote Smile?
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
Great song.
Great
yeah,
song.
Yeah, that
and
is.
He was actually a great guy, sort of, misinterpreted, I think, and maybe did a couple of stupid things, but, we all do over the years.
Yep, that's right.
Well, it's an amazing
album.
It's just an amazing album, and I encourage everyone to go to Izzy's website. What's that website again, Ms. Swihart?
It's izzychait.com.
And that's C-H-A-I-T for those who...
Right on.
right on.
Right on. I've been there a few times. So I can tell you there's videos on there. Yep. So.
Did you like my Dylan music video, I'll Be Your Baby Tonight?
I didn't see that one because I watched America the Beautiful about 7 or 8 times.
You should go take a look at I'll Be Your Baby Tonight.
I'm going to. It's up right now, but I can't play it now because I'm on speaker, and of course you it's
great.
Loud. But I also contacted you earlier today, but you didn't respond to me.
I'm very slow at doing that because I'm not a sort of computer guy. I'm more of kind of like personal action talking. I like to speak to people on the phone. I like to speak to people face to face. I will email, but I don't text. My children laugh at me. I don't text. I don't know how, and I don't want to learn.
I didn't think I would ever do that either, but because I have 4 kids, and 3 of which are teenagers, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot can be done with a simple text that says, you have 5 minutes to have your dirty clothes to the laundry room or your phone gets shut off. So, yeah, I do what I've got to do to get by, and it works very well.
Well, Izzy, gosh, it's such a great pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Always a joy, and hope you'll come back and visit every time a CD comes out, because there just isn't enough Izzy in this world, that's for sure.
No.
Did you get my latest holiday CD yet?
No.
Ah, it's called Holiday
Nights.
It's called Holiday Nights. And it was a live recording we did at the Culver City Jazz Club. I'll make sure that I get one in the mail to you right away. We're going to send them out for Christmas, but I'll send you a bunch before that.
Oh, please.
But it's got some great stuff. It's got some Christmas songs, and it's got some other, you know, sort of fun songs. But it has a version of O Holy Night, which is a song that I've always wanted to sing and to record. But you've never heard it this way.
Wow. Oh, we'll be looking for those. And please sign them if you don't mind.
You know, that's
a
good idea. I forget, and I have these great pens that will write on everything. You know, my children buy me these markers that will work for signing things, and then I stick them in a pocket, and then I forget which pocket.
It's Sharpies. Are they Sharpies? Because Sharpies are the best markers ever.
They are.
Sharpies. Yes.
We're
but they don't
close.
Smell.
Yeah.
Remember how the old markers used to smell?
Yeah. Mm. Amy's my heart fun fact for tonight.
Those markers are gone along with the rubber cement, I'm telling you.
Well, Izzy, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. We consider you a friend of the show, and we just love it when you have the time to join us.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Oh, great 90 minutes, Dr. Day.
As always.
Yay, this was awesome.
It was.
Yep.
We will have to have Izzy back.
Oh, yes.
Soon, real soon.
Real, real soon.
Because we just got to hear just a little bit of music tonight.
Well, we're going to
maybe like next week.
You know, any time you like, I'm always available for you guys. And I got to meet Amy tonight.
Oh, you
That's
did.
That's right. And you know what? You let me know when you want me to pick you up at the airport.
Okay.
Okay?
I will.
And I will do it.
I will.
As we close out tonight,
Municipal Airport.
As we close out tonight's program, here's another track from the brand new album by Izzy Chade. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good
night.
Good
night. Glad to tell you this, that I'm very, very happy. I know that's not what you'd expect from me at all. I'm not the kind to smile and bow out gracefully. I always wanted to take it to the wall. But I found somebody with a heart as big as Texas. I found an angel with golden wings. She saw me standing in the dark somehow. Everything is different now. Yeah, I miss the old crowd sometimes, the wild, wild nights are running. You know a starving soul can't live that way for long. You go round in circles that just keep getting smaller. You wake up one morning and half your life is gone. I got so tired of that, I got so lonely. I dropped out and called out to heaven, sent me someone to love. In heaven shot back, you get the love that you allow. Everything is different now. Telegram from the God of sin.